Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
over. Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
You know what, man? It's fun to go back to that one. I like that open to the show. It's got some hair on it.
What about going way back?
Way back.
To like the first one.
Yeah?
What
this
about that?
Is dun, dun, dun. Tall Can. Nice. What's happening, man? Nice Thursday afternoon pod. We'll send everybody into their weekends happy.
Living the life of the bus taker.
Okay. Swig for the working man.
You got that right. And so I'm honestly, as somebody who has, and I have very fine, olfactory senses.
Mm-hmm.
And the bus is not the place for that guy.
Okay.
It smelled like secondhand tabbouleh.
Mouli tabbouleh.
Maybe, 2-day-old Chinese takeout.
Yeah.
You know that smell?
Yeah,
it's
I do.
Kind of. Yeah, and you're like, is that broccoli or bok choy heavy on the peanut oil? I'm not sure. I'm not loving it.
You weren't happy with your bus ride to the studio today?
No.
Okay.
No, and I feel like...
You think this is a little classism at work? Because you are sitting there on the bus with them.
Yeah, for sure.
Why are you better?
That's been a question that's been
posed. I ask myself a lot. No, why am I better?
I never ask myself that. And whenever it's posed to me, I feel rather indignant. Like
I'm clearly better.
Why would you even ask that question? Let me count the ways. There's so many ways.
Yeah.
Classism, I'm not sure classism. I think I have a heavy distaste for most people.
Yeah.
Really. True. So it's got nothing to do with your ethnicity, your gender, nothing.
No.
None of those things. Just most people in general suck.
Would you like to hear a terrific story of classism?
Yes, I would.
I was talking to the other night, a delightful woman. She's a peach. Let's call her Carrie. And she was telling me a story of her and some family members needing to go into Toronto last week. And they were going to stay overnight at a hotel for a medical appointment the next day in Toronto, the next morning. And she was treating everyone to a couple of hotel rooms. And she gets to the front desk. Now, she's staying at a Marriott hotel. I don't know what their frequent stay program is called, but she's one of their elite members.
Of course she is.
And so she's standing up at the counter, and she's checking in, and she's getting the great treatment from the people at the front desk as they see that she's an elite member, right? Oh, Carrie. That's nice to have you staying with us. What might we be able to do to, improve your stay? And, it's great that you're with us here today. And so this is taking a little time as they work through and try and find her a nice room, given her Marriott status, I guess.
Yes.
And one of the people that she's treating, let's call him Marvin. Am I doing good? Do you think I'm doing good at disguising these? Maybe I should just beep them out, these names. Marvin has come directly from work, where he is, a laborer on a nondescript work site.
Okay.
And this is not to look down on anyone. My entire family has worked around, you know, and with laborers for quite some time. They work hard. They're just looking to earn an honest buck.
In fact, none of Matt's family has sleeves in their shirts.
Right.
True.
Yeah. And so Marvin is sort of tired of waiting for the pleasantries that Carrie is receiving at the front desk. And he's worried that maybe Carrie is being given a hard time. And so still covered in dirt and with his orange shirt and sweaty as hell from laboring all day.
Is Marvin wearing a camouflage hat?
I can't say for sure.
Okay.
But you could roll the dice on it. It would be a fair bet.
All right.
And Marvin is going to walk up to the counter beside Carrie and ask what he can do to help. How he can... And Carrie is worried about how Marvin checking in next to her may impact her Marriott elite status.
Right.
We're not giving our nicest room to that guy.
I got news for you, Carrie. You're related to that guy.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that. That's just speculation.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I am just going out there.
Yeah. But is that Carrie being reasonably concerned? Or is that Carrie being, you know, maybe a little classist? But she's worried about being downgraded in her... Marvin might smell like something that has newly become legal as he marches up to the counter. He may not. We can only speculate.
Okay.
We're not giving our best rooms to Carrie anymore, is what Carrie might be afraid.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that's just Carrie having a good eye. And Carrie knowing what the lay of the land is.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think guys
How come I'm suddenly getting rooms next to the parking lot?
Yeah, yeah, the kitchen fumes. I think it's just shrewd.
I did promise Carrie I would change the name, so I hope she's happy with what we've done.
Yes, I'm sure she's totally, totally good with it.
We got a couple of pieces of feedback on the most recent episode of Tall Can Sports. One good and one bad. Which would you like to hear first?
Oh, without a doubt, I want the good.
Okay. Crystal responds.
Crystal sounds like a fine lady.
And it's very simple, very direct. Simply says, thank you for talking about the Clarkson Cup like a sporting event and not like a charity that you're running once a year.
Crown and anchor, baby. Crown and anchor.
I think we're fairly consistent in terms of, you know, where we stand on women's hockey. We're not great with the WNBA, but we're not great with the NBA either. So
there's a reason for that.
I thought we had a pretty good conversation about the event, about Marie-Philippe Poulin versus some of her contemporaries as whether or not she's the greatest women's hockey player ever. I don't think there's a reason to look at it like it's a charity. I think it's a legit event. I think I was disappointed when I saw what Sportsnet came out with as their ratings for the event, which was sub 200,000. You know, on a national network, you'd hope for a little more than that, but maybe that's still kind of where they're at.
You got to build it.
Yeah.
Right. It's, and this is what we were talking about, right? Is the further along it goes, the more, in air quotes, legitimate
right.
it becomes. It's got to make its way from nowhere to somewhere at some point.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's happening. And as we said, a little affiliation with the NHL, once those two leagues gets figured out,
right.
they'll be on the four lane to more legitimate ways.
I don't know if we spent enough time on that, right? There are two women's leagues, the NWHL in the United States, and they're sort of a not-for-profit or an amateur association versus the Canadian Women's Hockey League, which is clearly looking to be a professional league. And that's one of the big divides between them. And for now, you know, the best thing that could happen for either league is for the NHL to get on board, decide we're partnering with you and let's do this thing and let's grow together. But they're not going to choose between them. And so these two leagues have to figure out their own differences. I don't know necessarily that they have to merge, but they have to get way more comfortable with each other, stop looking at each other as competitors, and sort of get on the same page before the NHL can... They're not going to choose one over the other. They're just not.
Well, see, in the words of the Highlander, there can only be one, right? And yes. So if you are looking at it, one will have to, you know, sort of cannibalize the best players out of the other one and then say, yep.
Now it's us.
We're doing it. This is us. We are going to be the top tier of professional women's hockey. That's right. What it has to be.
Yeah. And so, you know, to wrap that up, Crystal, you know, thanks for your message. Anybody can send those in either on Twitter at TallCaneAudio or at TallCaneAudio.com. There's a little contact page. You can send whatever you want in, but glad you enjoyed it. It's tougher because there are fewer of those events, at least that get enough attention for us to be able to watch and know enough to talk about. But we do have Women's Worlds coming up. We'll try and, you know, keep an eye on that. The USA has pretty much been running the table over Canada here at that event over the last almost decade now.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. The other one, the negative one that we received.
Negative, hey?
Did not have a name on it. Go figure.
Uh-huh.
Even on the anonymous internet where you could make up a name or only put a first name.
Marvin.
Or nobody likes Marvin.
Marvin with a preemptive strike.
Yeah. Marvin.
Yeah.
Let's call him.
Yep.
Is responding to my thoughts on, I stated that the Leafs should be resting Freddie and Ron Hainsey down the stretch. It says, where is it? Here we go. Fuck your smug.
Oh.
Yeah. No, always with an opinion, but no plan or logic to explain it. Shut the fuck up. Now, this comes from someone consciously and voluntarily choosing to listen to our podcast. Sounds like has had a beef with me for a while, and that's okay. I do think I laid out last time which games I would sit out Freddie versus Sparks. I don't think I did with Ron Hainsey. It's pretty simple. I don't think you can rest Freddie all the way down. I personally would have sat Freddie for Philly on Wednesday and Ottawa on Saturday, which we now know is not happening. I'd have played him in Long Island on Monday because, you know, you're going to try at least once to get Tavares a win back in that environment. Sparks on Tuesday against Carolina because that's a back-to-back. And then Freddie again on Thursday against Tampa and Saturday against Montreal. I don't want him sitting for the full week in between. A lot of people saying give Freddie that last Saturday off. Now it's Thursday to Thursday. He hasn't played. I don't want to do that either. So I think I mentioned some of that I would have at least given him the first week off.
So you're laying out the plan that Marvin was looking for?
Well, I'm doing that right now.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We know it's not happening. Babcock's going to run Freddie right into the fucking ground. But if he's claiming there's no logic, there's no plan, I'm giving it to you right now. Freddie sits against Philly and sits against Ottawa. We know that hasn't happened. And then he would play on the Monday. So he would have had a full week off in my plan.
Right, so we're going to see Sparky again?
I don't know. But that would have given Freddie, he would have played Monday, where he wasn't very good, right, against, who'd they play Monday?
They
gave up five.
Yep.
Panthers.
They won 7-5. There you go.
So I'm giving him that whole week off, Monday to Monday. He's going to try and get Tavares a win in Long Island. And then he's sitting again on Tuesday, because that's a back-to-back for Sparky to play the back half of. And then he plays Tampa Thursday, plays Montreal Saturday. And then that's it, right? You're into the playoffs. He looks, I don't know, he looks tired, he looks hurt, he looks something. He's got to sit down. And Hainsey, to me, that one's easier. Hainsey's going to not play against Ottawa. And I'm showing some shade here to Ottawa, who keeps beating us. But
I think you're okay.
Yeah, no. So he's not playing against Ottawa on Saturday. He is playing on Long Island on Monday again.
Do you have Dermott or Gardner? I mean, yeah, Dermott or Gardner?
Dermott and Gardner. Gardner won't be back until probably next Thursday at the earliest. Dermott could be any time now.
Yeah,
Callie Rosen, also from the Marlies, who they wanted to call up as soon as those two guys got hurt, and he hurt his foot. So he's been...
Well, because if you're running without...
We're fucking piss poor anyway, man. We should be able to beat Ottawa without Ron Hainsey. Like,
no, but I meant when you're looking at a pretty suspect decor to begin with, and then you take out Hainsey, Dermott, Gardner.
My thing is, it doesn't matter. We're not catching Boston, and we're not falling far enough for Montreal to pass us.
For sure.
So whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
And I find it humorous that you would be labeled the smug fuck.
No, so do I, to be honest with you. So Hainsey skips Ottawa, plays on Long Island on Monday. Again, ideally, I guess, let's try and get a win there for John.
Well, I wonder if John's going to have big crocodile tears.
Yeah. And then
ooh, poor boy.
And then sits out again Tuesday against Carolina. And then he plays against Tampa Thursday and Montreal Saturday. So really, we're not talking about sitting everyone down and just... I'm just trying to... Like, Marlowe should sit too. This is where this all started.
Yeah.
But... He's not going to because of the Iron Man, and that's that. So those are the two responses we got.
If at the end of the day, if Marlowe, and the thing that comes down to it is, and I could have wrapped the whole thing up with a nice tidy bow, if he's going to retire without a cup, let him retire with the Iron Man thing.
I guess. I don't give a fuck about his Iron Man thing. I give a fuck about him getting a cup now in Toronto.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
I think I'm throwing a little shade back.
I know
your
you
way.
Are. For sure you are, man. That's kind of what we do here.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks, Anonymous.
Yeah.
Feel free to drop another line.
Fuck, you're smug.
I think Matt's a douche, too.
Yeah, everybody does.
That's not true. Most people love Matt.
Oof.
Strangers want to hug him on the street.
That's true. I'm very cuddly.
It's true.
Like you sent me
like
a text.
Like an overstuffed gun, really.
Overstuffed for sure. Why don't we talk about a text you sent me the other morning?
Yep.
Which was hopefully... just your attempt to troll. If not, you're a fool, I think is what I said in my response. Yeah.
You're a fool or perhaps...
A troll.
A troll.
Before I cite the case, would you like to answer that question? Because if one is more true than the other, we don't need to go any further.
Yeah, no, I was just...
Okay.
I was... But to me, it's not...
This is...
It's,
this
not,
is
an
from,
it's not an open and slammed...
Yes, it is. No, this is from Monday night. Toronto wins 7-5 over Florida. Boston blows a 4-2 lead in the blows a 4-2 lead in the third on the road to Tampa and loses 5-4. The only reason this debate becomes notable is I said at the end of my text that Marchand takes a penalty in the last minute that fucks his team. So the text that you sent to me was the next morning, I'm taking Marchand over Tavares.
Yeah, well, and in fairness, and in sort of, if you want to be truly open, the begin. Yes, exactly. And we'll just edit this out later anyway.
Sure, so yeah,
it doesn't really matter. Was you let it off by saying Tavares scores four?
Yes.
Just like
hit
Austin,
him with the four, just like
just
Austin,
like Austin Matthews, right? Yeah. And then I'm looking at it going, but they allowed five.
Well, that's not John's fault.
Somewhere it is. Somewhere it is.
On Twitter, it is.
Okay. Yeah. He's looking for a room with Jonathan Drouin because apparently the two of them can't, you know, get it done.
Yes.
Yes. And so then you went on to say, yeah, and on top of that, the Bruins.
Well, I was feeling that.
Choked it up. And
Tampa's still a divisional rival, but yeah. I'm happy to see Boston losing.
Yeah. And I get that. Yeah. I totally get that.
Yep.
So, yeah, I was just sort of...
Yeah, and in my text, I said sort of what I said here. Was it after Tampa scores Kucherov to make it 5-4 after clawing their way back, after the next faceoff, Marchand slaps the stick out of some nobody's hand, too. I can't even remember. Like, it wasn't like he went straight to Kucherov or...
But yeah, whatever that guy's name is, whatever, something.
Zarnak like. Or yeah, something maybe, weird like
Zarnak.
That.
Zarnak. From the powers Zarnak. Of Greystone.
Yeah. And just open hand slaps the stick out of his hand.
Yeah, like, thus killing any
stupid.
Momentum or any chance you could have to pull the goalie.
And I hate that guy anyway, right? And so whatever. And that's what it said. And so,
would you take him on your team?
Yeah.
For sure you would.
But not ahead of John Tavares.
No, okay. And again, it's the center. But I like
it's
all
the points per game. It's
I like all the other things that he brings over Tavares. But clearly Tavares is skilled. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I'm taking Tavares first.
Yes, that a boy.
But it's not to me, it's not a
okay.
Marchand is one of the best wingers in the league.
Skip through three or four paragraphs of counter arguments I've got here that on that, but
yeah, whatever you got, it's to me, it's not a. I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, I know that's why I'm now skipping through it. I couldn't tell whether you were being typical douchebag you or actually having a foolish fucking opinion of, you know, taking the older winger off suspended with less goals, less assists, less points per game, less points. Or the younger center with the so.
How old is Marchand?
Marchand born in 88, Tavares born in 90. So
well,
I mean, negligible, but not nothing. Why don't we talk a little about Paul Byron? I know you've been you brought this up as something worth touching on. I think it's pretty interesting too, based on what happened. I haven't had a chance to crack my fucking beer yet, so why don't you tee this up for the good listener?
So, Mackenzie Weegar, Paul Byron, right? Weegar plays for the Panthers. Byron, smallish winger for the Canadiens.
Yep.
Back in January, Paul Byron hits Weegar from behind. Byron gets a 3-game suspension.
Weegar, please.
Yeah. Last night is the first time they've had a chance to sort of meet up again.
Right.
Byron is challenged to a fight. Byron accepts said fight.
The code.
Byron clearly not prepared for Weegar to be a lefty.
Ooh, fuck.
And he eats a couple of solid ones, a straight and then the uppercut that just drops him like a sack of spuds, right?
Yep.
Boom. And he was, and you could see on Uyghur's face right away, he's like, ooh.
Right? Yeah. No, there's a video of him sitting in the penalty box looking up at the replay of the fight. And as soon as he sees that Byron's struggling to get to his feet, he can't stand on his own. You can see his head's down like, oh, fuck. Right? Like,
yeah. See, these are, and they're both Ottawa guys. For all we know, they may skate together in the summertime, right?
Or maybe they have a long history dating back to the Blackburn.
Yep, Stingers.
Sure.
Yeah, Blackburn could be, Stingers, man. Legion Hawks. Who knows, right? It could be just about anything.
Hated each other forever.
Yeah, way back, GHA style.
Sure.
Yeah, but Weegar is about 6 foot, 205. Byron is about 5'8", 160.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so really what it comes down to is it used to be, man, I would love to see a good hockey fight.
Yep.
I'd love to see a hockey fight of any kind. I don't need to see that. To me, I don't need to see, and again, I don't blame Weegar.
Right.
Right? He asked, right? He felt like he was wronged, and as you said, in the code.
Yep.
Byron said, yeah, all right.
I'll answer the bell. So Byron's hit, as you mentioned, is a head hit. And this is back in January.
From behind.
Yep. Gets 3-game suspension and issues a public apology to the guy.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a little, I get it, and most people would tell you that was the honorable thing to do. I don't know how bad I need the public apology. Maybe something through the opponent's PR guy or the text or something.
Or you reach out. You know somebody in the other room.
Exactly.
You know, you got his number. I just want to.
Yeah. I don't know how much I need the public apology, but I get it, and that's fine. And if you're trying to save your image. But Paul Byron is not a guy who's known for this.
No.
Paul Byron is not a dirty player. As you said, he's a very small player. He plays a clean game. He plays a good game. You've been suspended and you apologized. I don't know, like you, how bad he needed to answer the bell here. And the code would say all his teammates, all the opponents, everybody now has more respect for him. But at what fucking price? Right?
Well,
like, and Weegar says afterwards, said, I asked him, and if he'd have said no, I'd have let that stand, but he said yes. So, you know, is Weegar a bad guy?
No.
Yeah, like, I kind of get it. You fucked with my career. You fucked me this year. I'm
Yeah.
We're doing this.
Well, and Uyghur's not a guy with an established NHL career.
No, that's right.
And so, yeah, you don't know how long that career is. And
right.
If somebody's taking shots at you from behind, running your head into the into the glass.
His reputation to you is irrelevant. He did it to me, right? Like,
sorry that I'm the first.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't go in for that. But yeah, that one, and clearly, you know, when fighting was more prominent in the game, right, as you come through the junior ranks, everybody's got to fight at some point, right? Everybody has. Some teams still employ fighting coaches, if for no other reason than to make sure that guys know how to properly.
How to handle themselves.
How to tie up if you need to be.
Yeah.
Right? Like they had somebody in Ottawa, had somebody on the ice with Brady Tkachuk, right? Just how to properly.
Man, for all the kids who probably doesn't need help there.
Yeah, but
growing up with those brothers. Yeah,
but just in terms of how to properly defend yourself if not throw
if Patrick
them.
Seeloff runs you in camp.
Right. What do you do when Bobby Ryan jumps you? Right. Whatever that
when he
looks like.
His hand on
yes,
your
exactly.
Face.
Exactly right. you know, what happens is as you move away from fighting in the game, and you have guys. It's filled now with guys who predominantly have not fought, right? You get guys who aren't prepared to take a punch.
That's right.
And so, you know, it just seems like more and more we see these, right? There's fewer fights, but then it seems to be that there's more damage done in fights because it's like guys have
We're in this weird transition area where guys don't know how to handle it or how to...
Right.
And we don't have the enforcer anymore to mean that they don't. And I think that's the right way to go. But we are in this weird area now where...
Well, did you hear Shaw's comments after the game?
No, I try not to listen to
it. Okay, well, he was saying, they were asking him, you know, what he thought about it. And he was like, it was grim to see. Nobody likes to see
right.
that. He said, but you know what? He goes, Pauly will be good.
Yeah.
Pauly got knocked the fuck out. Pauly is not good. Right? For you to say Pauly will be good.
Dave's a mess.
Man, Dave's a killer. No, Dave's a mess. Yeah.
Pauly is going to miss.
This is where I'm going next. Right? He then went on to say, you know, when Krug ran me from behind, I challenged him the next time and he stepped up, he said.
Yeah.
You know, but really, Krug's a guy with fucking concussion problems. You don't want that guy also accepting the code to fight Shaw.
Right.
Like, forget about it. And as you said... More importantly, and as this is airing, we will have a better idea.
Yeah.
Right? They need Byron in the lineup for that head-to-head
huge
match against Columbus.
Game with Columbus.
Because I'm telling you right now, tonight's game,
mm-hmm.
the winner of that.
Getting in. I agree.
Right? And if you looked at, did you see Steve Lloyd? I know he tweeted it out, but I heard it on radio today. Montreal's record with Byron in the lineup.
No, I didn't.
32-18
with
him in the lineup. Montreal is 11-10 with him out of the lineup.
It's interesting because to me, he doesn't scream impact guy, right?
16 goals, 15 assists.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
right. But to me, he's a guy who plays the way they play.
Yeah.
He's fast.
That's right.
Right. He gets in on you. Maybe not, you know, short of Uyghur. Not a heavy forechecker.
Yeah,
this is it, right? But they need him.
Yeah.
They don't need him answering the call to fight.
We
Mackenzie
got bigger
Uyghur.
Fish to fucking fry right now than worrying about Mackenzie Uyghur.
This is crunch time. 6 or 7 games left.
Yeah.
And shit is real. You've played the other 76 games to get to this point.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what's important. Not fighting. And I don't mind a little fighting, but I don't need to see guys who've never fought or fought very rarely.
Right.
I don't need to see those guys fight.
No.
I don't.
No, I'm with you.
And if you look, it's funny because the other night, Tuesday night, in the Ottawa game, Ottawa-Buffalo.
Yeah. Fuck, things are rough in Buffalo.
Well.
And you're getting sweet tic-tac-toe plays put up on you by Magnus Pajarvi and Gibbons.
Honestly, the goal scorers were Gibbons, Balzers, the Duke, Duclair, and Pajarvi.
Yeah.
I'm like... I was talking to one of the ladies in the lunchroom today. I'm like, do you know any of those names?
Right.
She's like, I don't know any of those people. And you're like, yeah. Boro hits Rodriguez, into the boards. It's a penalty.
Yeah.
Like, it's a board, right? And so you hear the crowd go, ooh.
Yeah.
At least the 12,000 that were there, right? And so, you know, Boro turns around and he's like, okay.
Here we go.
Who's coming?
Yep. Oh, nobody's coming.
There's nobody coming, no, right? There's... Somebody came over and they just sort of hugged a bit because yeah. Buddy was like, I don't want to fight you. Don't punch me. Right? But so it just, it's like, it's gone that way.
Yeah.
Right? Not all the time, but.
Well, do you see what happened on Monday night with Toronto versus Florida with Jace Horlick? Yeah, there's a guy you should have in your pool.
You better check yourself.
You Horlick yourself. Yeah.
Exactly.
So he scores a goal at some point in the first anyway, but he runs Tavares from behind, and Ron Hainsey jumps in to defend him. So they both end up with penalties, and there's a great video flying around of, again, Jace Horlick screaming at Ron Hainsey from the other penalty box. They're both sitting down. Hainsey gets the extra two, so he's going to be in there long. But the camera shot...
For what? For instigating?
Basically, yeah. And so he's sitting there, and Horlock is just screaming at him over top of the... And Hainsey's not even looking at him. He kind of casually lifts the water bottle up and gives it a squirt, and he's just looking away. And then at some point, he just kind of gives one look over the shoulder like... And looks back like, you're fucking nobody. So anyway,
yeah.
As this happens, Horlock gets out first, and then he comes in and scores his second of the game, seventh of the year. And the mics pick up Horlock skating by Ron Hainsey and giving him the stare, right, because Hainsey's still stuck in the box, and like he's trying to intimidate, and Kadri skates by Horlock and goes, seventh of the year, new career high, eh, bud?
Yeah. So,
that's, I think, sort of more, for better or worse, where we're going is this chippy bullshit, but without fights. Or like Ron Hainsey jumped in and same thing. They just shoved a little, right? Like Boro did with Buffalo. There's no gloves off, five for fighting, no whatever.
Yeah.
It's just kind of pretending that we still do this more than, but I thought that was a great line. Seventh of the year, new career high.
Woo! Yeah. Get back, son.
Step back. So I think the other thing we wanted to touch on before we get out of here today was we touched a couple of weeks ago on a poll done by The Athletic anonymously with the NHL. And as the baseball season kicked off for today, Blue Jays and Tigers, they do similar stuff, right? Cities you want to visit, managers you'd like to play for, best at this, worst at this. We're not going to touch on all of them as thoroughly as we did last time, but I thought we'd maybe take a look at a couple of these. You want to take a stab at who major league hitters thought was the most intimidating pitcher to step in against?
Okay. Sure, I'll take a stab at
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
go
You didn't have a chance to check this out, eh, on the Athletic?
I did not.
No.
I did not. I would say Max Scherzer.
Max, you fucking did see this.
No, I didn't.
Max Scherzer is the number one. One of the comments from a hitter said, we don't have very many, and this actually dates back to what we were just talking about in hockey, said, we don't have very many pitchers left in the game who will throw at you at 105 and say, I don't give a fuck. So Max Scherzer, the most intimidating pitcher in baseball.
What about, because to me, you look at a guy like, there's some of the closers.
Well, and you know, other guys mentioned on the list here, Chapman and Betances, both out of New York,
what
right?
Like, Kimbrel.
Kimbrel, still unsigned, I think. Fuck.
Like, but see, he's a...
Yeah.
I think he signed, I saw he signed somewhere.
Oh, okay. Not in Toronto.
Not in Toronto. No, but he's another one of those guys, too, that they come in and you don't
It's
know.
Only intimidating if your manager brings you out of the bullpen in a one-game playoff.
Well,
if you're sitting out there.
And if they lead you out on a chain.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that guy? What's up with that guy? So did you say Aroldis Chapman, too?
Yep.
Because he's another big dude that can throw with some...
Chapman, 6'6". Yeah, and he comes up in a couple of these categories. Guys you'd least like to charge the mound against. Chapman's right up there like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take my base. Right?
Like, I'm going to take a chair with me.
Most intimidating hitter?
Aaron Judge.
Mike Trout, Aaron Judge was on the list as one of the
Mike
runner-ups.
Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Mike Trout getting a lot of love.
Mike Trout and one of the commenters, one of the players, like this is all anonymous, so they don't give any names, but saying that we are watching the guy who is going to wind up being the best of all time and taking him for granted.
See, it seems
just
a bit,
no holes in his swing.
Seems a bit much that well, he's best ever, but hey.
Could be.
For sure, right?
I'm not staying up to watch a lot of Angels games.
I know, but it's also, it's a very long history.
Yeah, for sure,
baseball,
for
right?
sure. And, this is probably... a pitcher for
Oakland.
Oakland, exactly.
Yeah. Just somebody who sees them 18 times a season. Exactly. You're like, God damn it. Enough.
Yeah. Most overrated player in Major League Baseball, this according to the players.
Okay. I can only guess Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper is number one.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Did receive multiple votes, but he's a long way down okay. here.
To me, after seeing him, I know what he did as a Marlin or yeah. whatever he was, but to me, is your last year.
He's also another guy in the opposite of guys you'd least like to see charge the mound at you. Is Giancarlo.
Because he's like 6'6 or 6'8 exactly. or whatever. He's another one. Him and Judge, the two of them.
Just
are.
Monsters. It's Bryce Harper. He got like 62% of the vote. The next highest guy was like 4%.
I was going to say, that is.
Would you like to take a guess at which Blue Jay was second in the voting here?
A Blue Jay is second?
Of most overrated players?
Marcus Stroman.
Marcus Stroman is.
Well, because there's nobody who's left.
Well, to still be second in all of MLB,
well, cause
go from 62 down to. Now, to be fair, it does say there's a pile of people around 4 or 3%, right?
I bet you it was a teammate.
Aaron Sanchez, yes. Former best friend. Fuck you. Give me opening day.
I think it's a catcher.
Could be.
Fucking bitch shaking me off again. Don't you? Who's that guy? Tuck your chain in and throw the heat.
Yeah. To me, I guess that's fair, right? But there is a lot of, he does a lot of things that people don't like. Whether or not he's over, like you don't hear a lot of people still talking about Marcus Stroman as one of the top pitchers in the game.
You certainly do not.
So whether or not he's overrated or most disliked, I wonder if those are tied together a little
bit. Yeah, that's like P.K. Subban in hockey, right?
Yeah, we talked about Dion Phaneuf, who's still claiming Dion Phaneuf's a great defenseman.
Yeah.
He's not overrated.
Yeah.
You don't like him.
Let's not talk about him at all.
Most underrated. This is going to be tougher, but.
No idea.
Anthony Rendon of the Nationals.
I've never heard of that guy.
Okay. All-star shortstop.
So I guess he's underrated. Yes.
Yeah. By you anyway. So yeah. Bunch of guys you just say
who
makes
else,
every single
who else
play.
Is on, who else is on that list?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't go too far down this list.
Because I bet you there's none of them that I know. And
okay.
You'd be like, yep. Well,
and that's it, right? Like, it gets tougher. This is, you know, unlike in hockey where everyone just says Barkov and Backstrom. You're like, yeah, okay.
yeah.
The manager you would most like to play for?
Cito Gaston,
not on the list.
Tony La Russa. Let's go with, you know, it's got to be... Madden from the Cubs.
It is Joe Madden. One of the guys here saying he seems like the type of guy that lets players sort things out for themselves. I like that. Another comment says, have played for him before, would do it again. So,
hey, Greg Kimbrell, I'm out here looking. I'm still looking for a job. Right. What do you got?
Exactly. Manager you'd least like to play for.
Okay, judging by hockey, does Joe Madden make it to the top of this list too?
Joe Madden is the runner-up on this list, just like John Tortorella before
him. I was
going to
say, it seems like guys who people want to play for are also
fucking
the guys you
bipolar,
don't want to
right?
play for.
It's Gabe Kabler of the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay, well,
he had a bad run last year. Guys didn't like it. People didn't want to.
Well, I was going to say, but they don't want to play in Philly.
Well, yeah. Unless you cut a check like you do to fucking Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Well, and then he says they're going to have a parade and he accidentally drops wherever a D.C.
Washington.
A D.C. street. And you're like, grr.
Easy, buddy. This was interesting to me because of what you brought up, right? Joe Madden, second place here, just like John Tortorella in the hockey one. It seems to be that what some guys love, others don't, right?
Yeah.
And That's really interesting.
Well, because it's like anything else, right? If it's a bit laissez-faire, right? You let, it's hands off.
Yeah.
Some guys look at it as, yeah, that bitch thinks he can run the clubhouse as in terms of another player.
Right.
And you're like, I don't like that.
Right.
So I'm going to go over there and bust him in the mouth, or you have to, or you have to put a little order in here, right? And so some guys, you know, they need structure. Some prefer less.
Be left alone a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's why, you know, some guys really loved John Gibbons, who by all accounts let that veteran laden lineup do their own thing. And would you like to see the shift banned? Which percentage do you think won out?
Is that a thing?
Well, they're not going to do it, but they're asking the players, would you like to see them ban the shift?
I would hope it's 100% no.
No, 77%. 17% yes. Now, the argument, one guy says, where is it here?
Please tell me it's hit.
Ban the shift for the guy batting 180 with 3 home runs, shift against Miguel Cabrera. Which to me is fair.
Like, how about learn to fucking hit the ball the other way?
You fucking read this, you lying cunt.
No, I did not.
It says this right here. The very next comment was, learn how to fucking hit the ball the other way.
I didn't swear, though. Okay, but why would you, what, if you can't?
This one says, allow it twice per game.
Why is this a thing?
Well, they obviously don't like that you're moving the infield around. Like, to me, it becomes either you're allowing it or you're not. This allow it twice per game, this allowing it against, you declare your hitters ahead of time that you're going to do it against, and you're only allowed a certain amount. That's all fucked. Either do it or don't. Allow a certain number of guys, and you draw a line straight up the middle of the infield, right? Two guys on this side, two guys on that side.
See, there's no way that I'm hitting a ball the opposite way. That's not happening.
No, we know.
Okay, but
hitting a ball at all. Out of the infield.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like the chance. If you told me I'm going to groove a fat one here at 90 miles per hour, give me 10 swings at it. But in terms
if
of
the pitcher tells me what he's going to throw.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all I'm saying, right? Yeah. Is but these guys, a lot of these guys are skilled hitters, and the idea of taking a little off and hitting it the other way, while an impossibility for me or you, not for these guys.
Right.
To me, the shift seems to be an easy thing to do if you can beat it. That's.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me try that again. Beating the shift is an understandably easy thing to do if you have that skill.
Right.
Do it. Don't ban. Like, I don't understand why we. That's a stupid fucking question.
No, it's a fair question. It's a stupid thing that 100% didn't say no to banning it.
No, all right, but give me a reason why we would ban it. And I'm not saying you're suggesting we ban it, so I'm not looking to you. But to me, whoever's saying, yes, ban it, like what's the reason?
Most popular, Road City.
You're not even playing my reindeer games.
Nope.
All right. Most popular, Road City. Is that what you asked me?
I did ask.
New York City.
New York City, not on the fucking list.
Okay.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's not Minnesota either, in case that was your next
guess. Yeah. What a... Boston?
Chicago.
Nice. Yeah, Chicago's good. I love Chicago.
Second on the list, Toronto.
I am very surprised by that.
So it says here, now this is probably, and maybe I'm making inappropriate assumptions, that's what I'm going to do. It says here in one player's comments, most diverse city in the league, over 200 cultures in that city, and always super friendly. Love Toronto.
Okay.
So now he didn't get to vote that many times, but this is the comment they're using in terms of whatever. And we hear this a lot, even around the NBA, that teams will come in, almost take that game for granted, but with the understanding that it's kind of a low-key, awesome nightlife, right? That they're going to go out and tear it up in Toronto. You know, maybe less reporters came across the border, right, in terms of journalists and people there to cover you, right? Yeah. Maybe it's an easy weekend.
It's people like Ryan Braun who can't fucking get their passport.
I don't
and
believe
shit.
For a second no, that course, guy lost his passport.
Of course not.
He's just like, I'm not fucking going to Montreal.
Forget about it. I'm not playing on the concrete.
Right.
The green concrete up there. Forget about it.
For sure. Least popular city to visit.
Kansas City.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's, Oakland.
It's Cincinnati, which is also fair enough.
Which is Cleveland but, light, isn't it?
But with Oakland second and New York third.
Really? Well, I wonder if it's because of the
attention?
Well, to me, that's a place. And to me, I don't really, the Mets. Meh.
Yeah. It does say here, because Chicago also appears on the least popular, but one of the players' comments says, this only applies to the White Sox. Love playing the Cubs. All those day games. Great places to go at night. So that's kind of awesome.
Not a Southside. Not a Southside no, exactly. guy, right? Okay.
Where the players most want to expand. If MLB is going to expand, where do they want to go first?
Well, let me just give me a second. Saskatoon? No. How about... Everybody's favorite, Vegas. Where else are we going to go?
Las Vegas is next on the list. Montreal.
Well, Vancouver. Second. What about Vancouver? Oh, Montreal.
Montreal second. Vancouver does appear way down the list on, you know, places that got multiple votes.
Well, because where else are they going to go in the States now?
Well, there's lots to talk about. Going to Charlotte has applied. San Antonio has applied.
Well, see, because to me, you already have Houston, you already have the Texas Rangers out of Dallas, yeah. right?
I bet you could do it in San Antonio.
Well, it's funny, I was going, how about Kansas City? Wait, they already have a team. And
they can use another.
And they won a World Series like 4 years ago.
One of the comments here in support of Montreal is, Montreal would be awesome. Canada is fucking sick.
Okay.
I think this might be the same guy who loves Toronto.
Honest to God, look at those guys.
It's just fucking Joey Votto. His voice, actually, he may not like Canada very much.
Yeah, honestly, he's already said, fuck you, Canada baseball. And really, Vegas to me is the only, it's the largest market that doesn't have anything left in it.
Well, playoff hockey team.
No. Okay, yeah, but see, the NHL had to have big stones to be the first.
NFL going in there too. So for sure. If I'm baseball, I don't know if I want to be third into Vegas, but
well, I think you.
I get what you're saying.
I think you've already let the other two two leagues sort of.
They've also talked a ton about Mexico City, but apparently they're worried about the security there, which is fair enough.
Yeah, honestly, and turf and field quality.
And
although if they're willing
to
run
exhibition
games,
you're going to be able to charge.
And, yeah, pesos. Soul beer, whatever. Just get your fill.
We touched on this a little while ago. Player, if you're a pitcher, you'd least like to see charging the mound was Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton were the top two. So no one's fucking around in New York.
Well, right? I think Judge, big grin and gap in his teeth. He seems like an easygoing guy.
Yeah. But he's also 6'7", 285 or
whatever. I don't want to see him charging. I don't want to see him charging the mound.
Yeah.
I got a second baseball in my back pocket just in case I need to punch out that other tooth.
It's true, man. That's all of them. Some interesting stuff there. I'm glad to see baseball back up and going. I don't know what's going to go down with the Jays this year, but we have just entered a point where there's at least 103 straight days of baseball on the schedule before their All-Star break. That is the cool thing about baseball is it is a story that gets told every night.
There's always something there.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? I was reading something about a week ago. Blue Jays.
This article.
No. Blue Jays pitchers with 100 wins. Go.
Dave Steeb.
Correct. Yeah. All-time winningest Blue Jay pitcher.
Pat Henkin.
Correct.
Doc had to get there.
Roy Halladay. So yeah. There's two more.
Juan Guzman.
No.
Okay. Josh Towers. I don't know. I'm out on the last two.
Jimmy Key.
Jimmy Key makes sense. Yeah.
Jim Clancy.
I would never in 1,000 years have got Jim Clancy.
Tom Cerruti.
Wasn't he a catcher?
Yes. No, he was a pitcher.
All right.
Not anyways, that's it. There's only
May
five.
May he rest in peace.
There's only five.
Why don't we wind this one down? We hope you all have a good weekend. We'll be back with an all-new episode of Tall Can Sports on Sunday night. That's Monday morning for most of you who have lives on the weekend. For those of you who don't,
you?
We love that
and
you
what are you doing?
Us.
Yeah, join us with no lives.
You can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Same on Instagram. We're at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. The archives are at TallCanAudio.com. And we'll see you later.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.